You're listening to Potential Cast Season 3, Episode 10, Amends. As the Christmas holiday approaches, Angel is tormented by visions of his past victims, including Jeannie Callender, who wants him to kill Buffy. Stephanie.
I'm Kimberly.
This is Gabby.
I'm Illyrio.
And I'm Angie.
Hey, Angie.
Angie.
Hey, Gax.
What up?
Glad to be here.
Yay, we're happy to have you.
First off, what is going on with Buffy's hair?
Hey, that was my first note, too. I hate the bangs.
Those bangs are disgusting.
I think they had, like, an accident.
I hope so.
Remember, that was popular for a while.
Micro bangs? Oh, I don't remember them.
Well,
it's one of those things that lucky. I never saw it in real life. I only saw it on television.
Yeah, me too. But, yeah, she looks surprised all the time. That scene where Angel jumps up from the dream, the bad dream, I think he was really just jumping up because of Buffy's bangs. Like, oh my God, the horror. This is much worse than anything Angelus ever did.
I just had a vision of Angelus being a spiteful hairdresser. So, do we have feedback for amends?
We have feedback.
Awesome. Where is it? I'm going to read Paul Thomas's email.
Okay.
Paul writes, "This was an episode about hair. Buffy's bad hair day in 1998 was in direct response to Angel having flashbacks to his bad mustache day 160 years earlier. Angel's accent is back, and it was like a bad dream come back to haunt us again. You know the kind of dream that feels real, and you wake up in a sweat, panicking, thinking you're surrounded by people with ropey facial hair and fake Irish accents? Scary. Things I loved. Giles' response to Angel coming over for a chat. He couldn't have been less welcoming, could he? Willow's room o' passion, all red and berry whitey. Did you see the bottle of soda in the ice bucket? Awesome touch. Who couldn't love Oz's dramatic gesture? The guy is too cool for his own good. Joyce being very firm about not inviting Giles to Christmas dinner. Feeling guilty, eh, Joyce? Jenny being back. Not necessarily as the first evil, although dead people don't often get a chance. Choice, what they come back as. So, she should be happy she's back at all. Things that I didn't like so much. Man, that snow settled quick.
Oh my gosh.
All of Angel's whining. Someone put him out of his misery. That's all I have to say for now. There were some other points, but they may be too spoilery at this point in your viewing. Merry Christmas, Paul.
Merry Christmas, Buffy. Christmas. Here's one from Shelley. Yay for amends. Hi, Gags, and super special guest. That almost could have been me, except that I was out of town and you didn't record it anyway, and I'm hoping that you haven't recorded it yet. I absolutely love this episode, so it really surprised me when I found out that lots of folks dislike it. I think it's beautifully constructed, touching, and funny. I really appreciate that we get so much more backstory about Angelus, and once again, I need to forgive the awful accent. Why, oh, why did they make him Irish? I don't think it's too spoilery to tell you that this episode is important for the future, since you obviously know that Angel is spinning off soon. And I'm quite sure that Illyrio appreciated the return of his beloved Jenny. The last scene with Buffy and Angel is just so touching and powerful. And then there's the snow. There is a huge similarity here to the event that occurs in my all-time favorite movie, Paul Thomas Anderson's Magnolia. Yeah. An unusual occurrence happens, and we see how each of the characters are affected by viewing this, just like the bizarre snowstorm. The amazing thing for me is that I loved Magnolia the first time I saw it in the theater back in 1999, and I had no idea until last year that there was a television show happening simultaneously, which was equally as good as Magnolia. Magnolia is a pretty long movie, over 3 hours, but with Buffy and Angel, I have hours and hours of the kind of story that I love, and give me an ambiguous ending anytime. In addition, the John Bryan score for Magnolia is wonderful, and I just love the Christoph Beck score for Buffy, and in particular the music during the snowfall. Yes. As always, I am eagerly anticipating the next episode. Love you guys, Shelley.
Thank you, Shelley.
I agree.
I never associated the two. Like, I just watched Magnolia again for the second time, and I guess it's like, do you call it a Deus Ex Machina?
I suppose. Oh, yeah. But, yeah. It kind of like, oh, look, let's all be distracted and forget the whole point of this. What we're doing.
Yeah.
The episode left a bad taste in my mouth.
Yeah.
Well, it's not resolved.
Yeah.
Is that what it is?
That, or is, and it too cheap? Snow never actually looks like giant amounts of shaving cream on the floor.
Yeah. Well, I was just upset at that scene because it was such a powerful scene. Mm-hmm. And then it started snowing before they even started speaking. I was like, if it starts to snow, I swear to God, I'm out. but they're really getting into some good dialogue back and forth. Mm-hmm. And it was so powerful. It was so emotional, finally. And then it snows, and then, okay, we're walking hand in hand. It just turned so cheesy, and it was like, wow, what a cop-out.
Well, my issues were, like, seconds before that, she was yelling at him to get inside because it was going to be getting late any minute now, and then they can take a long-ass walk through downtown while it's snowing. I don't get it. Is this the sun still not coming up, even though it's snowing?
The weather forecaster said there's going to be no snow in Sunnydale for the day.
No sun.
Sorry, no sun.
Okay.
Which is stupid because the sun, it'd still be light outside. I don't get it.
But it was a Christmas miracle.
Yeah.
Bye.
Like the fact that we're all still here, right? Considering yesterday came and went.
Yes.
That's the only rapture joke I'll make.
Hey.
End of the world.
Back to the snow, I think that 1-800-COLLECT, was it, should have marketed little Buffy snow globes since they had that contest. Wouldn't that be cute? Little Buffy in a snow globe.
Aww.
It would explain that everything is in the mind of an autistic child.
That's right.
Oh, 1-800-COLLECT, those were the days. That brings back memories.
Yeah.
All right.
All right.
Any more amends? Emails?
I can't see any. And we asked her for feedback on the Facebook group quite a while ago. So I think we're good to go talk about the episode.
Cool. Okay.
Who wants to go first?
Well, I did let out an audible gasp when Jenny Calendar was behind Giles.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't know she was going to be in the episode, and then when I watched it for the second time, that it's clearly stated in the opening credits that she was going to be on the show, and I didn't see it the first time, so I was like, "It's so great!" Mm-hmm. I was not expecting that at all.
I wasn't either, and I just tend not to look at the credits, so I don't know. I guess on other shows, I always do. Like, I remember Lost, I would always want to, so I'd, like, put my hand on the bottom third of the screen so I wouldn't know who'd be on it.
Mm-hmm.
And, but, you know, the fact that it starts with a flashback is great.
Yeah.
And we see Angela's being a jerk.
I thought his hair looked very much like Cordelia's.
Very interesting.
Is this a Cordelia movie?
So what did you all think of Giles and Angel, their interaction?
I thought it was great. I think Giles was a little... I think he held back a bit, to tell you the truth.
Yeah, he showed restraint.
Yeah.
He could have been...
Grabbing a crossbow isn't that restraint. I mean, he's ready.
Mm-hmm.
He's ready to go.
Well, he didn't use it. That's restraint.
Mm-hmm. I suppose. Mm-hmm.
So was this episode basically like the pilot episode for Angel?
Hmm.
leading us up to what he's going to do?
Not really.
Okay. That's all I can say. Because I was really trying to pay attention to what they were telling him. Because we know that the series is coming up soon, so I figured this was a big introduction to what his series would be.
It's just that this story is not resolved at all, and this will continue.
Good.
Okay.
Why do you think Angel hadn't apologized before now to Giles and to the others?
He's too busy reading existentialist novels.
Doing Tai Chi.
I hadn't even thought of it.
Mm-mm.
I'm wondering if he's all there. You know what I mean?
Like he's all Angel?
No, I think just maybe mentally he's not all over the whole feralness of himself. Maybe there's like things are slowly coming back to him. I mean, I thought that's what the dream at the very beginning was kind of meant to show us, is that he's actually slowly remembering stuff that he did in the past. I mean, it turned out to be slightly different than that. But, you know, it's one of those things where, okay, he could have, but because he's never really been at the center of an episode, and this is kind of the first Angel-centric episode we have, I guess, this season, where it's about him and kind of from his point of view, I guess this is the more befitting time for it. I want to talk about the residual Gois feelings that are kind of, you know, they're a little bit on like walking on eggshells around each other. The fact that Gois didn't want Giles to come over for Christmas dinner.
Yeah, he doesn't want to hang around with girls.
No. And can I just say, who in the world changed Eliza's colors? For that one opening scene, her lipstick color is completely different, and she looks like a million times more beautiful. I don't know. In my personal opinion, she didn't look like someone pretending to be older wearing a certain color of lipstick. She actually looked gorgeous.
Really?
Yeah. And then near the end of the episode, when she finally shows up for the dinner with her crappy gifts, I guess, she went back to the red lipstick. I don't know. It looked really good for a while. I'm like, oh, I'm going to like her more. And no.
Maybe they had to do reshoots.
Probably.
Yeah.
Yeah. But yeah, here's my note on Jenny here is, Jenny, holy shit.
Yeah.
Very, very, very surprising.
I was glad to see her, even though it wasn't Jenny Calendar, but...
She's wearing what we last saw her in.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah. I was thinking, I'm like, how unfortunate for the rest of your life if you had to... you died wearing something you didn't like.
Eternity.
Or you died, like, in the shower, and you had to roll around for the rest of your life.
And you're, like, half soapy.
Always.
It isn't even just the clothes, you're just always half soapy.
Always.
Yuck. Especially if you haven't rinsed your hair and you were shampooing your hair.
What if it was the moment you had something in your eye? you constantly have that...
stinging feeling.
In one eye tightly closed thing. Not good. Not good.
Not good.
No. Back to Jenny Calendar, though. Mm-hmm. I think that she did such a great job, the actress.
Mm-hmm.
It was just really moving. And I love the way she sort of almost touched Giles. You know, she reached out as if she wanted to touch him. And, oh, that was so sad.
Mm-hmm. And when he turned around and he didn't see her, I was like, oh, she's fake.
Yeah.
Oz and Willow makeup.
Yeah. Yay. Oz is the better man. When does he die tragically now? was my note. Oz is the better man. When does he die tragically?
Hey, I'm not saying it's right or wrong, but if you're on a budget, you can't be giving someone your virginity for Christmas.
Hanukkah,
sorry.
Hello.
Man, she just keeps trying to give it to him and trying, and he just will not take it.
Yeah, not to give anything away, no pun intended. But in my experience, high school guys aren't like that.
No. Yeah, he's just
they don't have to be asked twice. And what was up with the Barry White? Teenagers don't need it. Mood setting. You know what I mean? Like, they're not middle-aged.
It's Willow being Willow.
When the Barry White started playing, that was so funny.
Yeah.
So funny. And I did notice that the little bottle of Sprite.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I thought it was, what's the one that I can't stand the aftertaste?
Fresca?
Fresca. I thought it was Fresca.
I thought it was either Fresca or that real lemon juice that's in a,
ew.
You know, yeah. It's called real lemon, but yeah. It's not real lemon. No. Yeah. Blah.
Trademark. Yeah.
Very uncomfortable to watch, though. I mean, not the Fresca, but the whole scene. It was just like, oh, I had to look away because it was just, oh, I don't know.
I kept listening for him talking about the sexy lady snakes.
Yeah, that never right. came. The Simpsons.
That never came up, unfortunately.
I love the way they slither.
Those slithering snakes. So, Double Dream.
Yeah, what was up with
how that? Was there, awesome. Well, I have a way to describe it. It's called astral projection sex. That's how they can get it on safely, right?
Oh my
Without
God.
Worrying that Angel will become jealous. Astral projection sex.
That scene was uncomfortable for me to watch. I'm like, I'm watching, and then all of a sudden, I'm like, wait a second, are they both masturbating?
This is oh.
Oh my God, I totally had the same thought.
Really? I did not.
Like this
but now that you mention it, that would make total sense.
It was.
I'm glad nobody went back in the stacks, though, and found Buffy. Yeah. So that's why they call you the Slayer.
But yeah, that's a bit much. And then, but when they were both in the same dream, I was like, what is happening here? That was weird. I still don't know why they... Buffy's
over the years is developing her abilities to see, you know, because at first it was just a little bit of, you know, the master is going to kill her. And then, you know, he does. And then over time, she sees more things in her dreams.
So she has premonitions.
I think she's a bit of a seer. Yeah.
Mm. Okay.
We see Willy again.
Yay. Willy the Snitch.
Willy.
Willy, my favorite guy on the bar. That guy's weird.
And I have here, to the sewers.
And don't forget your white coat if you're... Yes.
when Buffy goes to fight, she's always wearing white?
Because she's a good guy.
Yeah. But it's gotta be that. Think about the... Her stuff's gonna get dirty,
and it's always slightly too large. It's always just like one size too big.
Yeah. So she's got to be able to move.
She needs petites.
Yeah. What else do I have?
Angelus takes pleasure in killing. Beast kill just to eat, but he takes pleasure being a drunken, whoring layabout. He's a disappointment to his parents. This is when the first was trying to talk him into, you know, trying to fill him with self-doubt. And then she was trying to urge him to give in, I guess, to have sex with Buffy, to bring Angelus back or to bite her. Or, you know, she said you would drink her. And
Is it only if Angel kills Buffy that he'll turn back into Angelus, or if he kills someone and enjoys it?
I think that if he killed Buffy or had sex with Buffy, either one of those things, the first is thinking that would cause him to turn into Angelus again. And maybe killing someone else wouldn't, I mean, not that that would be good, but maybe he wouldn't go full on Angelus and she needs
because,
him.
Because he wants to bite her so bad.
I thought the angle was, you know, it would be the most awful thing he could do. So that's what the first are trying to get him to do, right? Like, imagine the worst thing Angel could do. Oh, bite and kill Buffy. Right? So, well, let's get him to do that. You know, I thought it was more of a, what's the worst thing we could get Illyrio to do? Ah, yes, poison all the coffee crisps. You know, let's get him to do that and bring them all to San Diego. Right? Not that I'm going to do that. Don't worry.
No.
So why do you think Angel is really back? What do you all think?
Well, the first claims that he brought Angel back.
Hmm.
But I don't know that that's really the reason. If he's just, if that was just a part of his ploy to bring Angel to the dark side or what have you.
I was under the assumption that they brought him back to kill Buffy, but he's mm-hmm. so obviously dead set against it. But my thing is, with his he'd rather die than kill Buffy, is that foreshadowing or is that just melodrama? You know?
Mm.
I don't know.
I think maybe that the first wants to get rid of both of them.
Mm-hmm.
Probably so.
Because at the end when he's like, well, I'll just go stand in the sun, and then Jenny Calendar's the form of Jenny Calendar is like, well, that'll do, you know? Like,
mm-hmm.
So it's either he kills Buffy, which is great, or he kills himself, which is also great to the first.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because I guess the first just wants to, you know, mess stuff up in general, so... Regardless of, you know, best case scenario is achieved, you know, mm-hmm. as long as, you know, that she can distract someone from their work, I guess it's good enough.
But even if Angel wanted to have sex with Buffy or whatever,
mm-hmm.
wouldn't she know the same thing? Like, she'd have to agree, obviously, so she wouldn't do it because
well, I don't
she
think
loves
she has
so
that much.
Much
self-control.
I think she does.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
Yeah, I think that's what the dream was showing us, that she would really like
but that
to
was a dream. That was a dream.
Mm-hmm.
She loves a piece of that action.
Now, yeah, one of my notes here is Angel needs a fix.
Oh my God.
They both do.
He totally was going through withdrawals.
Mm-hmm.
I was waiting for him to like start scratching his arm.
And I called it Smoke Monster. It was Smoke Monster.
Yeah, Buffy found the dead place, the place where nothing will grow, and that's underneath is where the Bringers were.
Yes. The where are they? Scary, scar-eyed, hooded freaks. That's what I wrote down.
In Sunnydale, you'll have to be more specific, though.
No. This is correct. Yeah, that was... they were really creepy.
Very.
I must say.
Very. Talk about Cordelia and Xander for a second.
Yes.
Cordelia is... She's so hurt. And she lets it slip that Xander has a bad home life, especially mm-hmm. around Christmas. I was like, mm-hmm. oh, Xander. And he goes and sleeps outside with his sleeping bag in the snow.
And his mm-hmm. plate of crudité.
Yeah.
Oh, there was...
That was for Santa, right?
Yeah.
Well,
there was more.
Yeah.
There was more canapé in this episode. I must try some canapé. I've never heard of this before.
It's just finger foods.
Yeah. Back to Xander. The whole episode, the idea of amends, I think that Xander really made amends in this episode, and he's definitely back on my good side.
Not mine.
Really?
How so?
Me?
Yeah.
Well, he helped Buffy help Angel.
Yeah.
You know, he got the Hanukkah spirit.
if he wants to make any type of amends, I think he has to help Cordelia somehow.
Do what?
Like make her not hate him so much. I don't know what he can do, but if he's gonna make any type of amends with anyone, it has to be Cordelia, because I think he treated her the worst of the three girls.
Yeah.
Mm.
Yeah, he took her for granted totally.
Well, I'm back on the Xander train.
Yeah. I've never hated Xander, but I understand, like, why he was annoying.
Yeah, not to just get into too much Xander, is he or isn't he a douchebag? I think that he went through this period, you know, the last few episodes where it was just really tough to watch. But, you know, I really love Xander, and that's all I'll say right now.
I like him too.
I think maybe his personality flaws are, I think that's over with for right now. Maybe. Because, I mean, I think this is just a phase that Xander is going through.
Teenage angst.
Yeah, I don't discount that it's a phase, but I don't think that it excuses douchiness. You know what I mean?
True.
Because people go through different phases and similar phases at the same age range, and they don't all exhibit that kind of behavior.
That's true. I think that's true. Speaking of douchiness, how about Joyce there inviting Faith to Christmas? That was nice.
Yeah.
Finally, she's a good mom to somebody.
Somebody, sort but of. Not Buffy.
Sort of.
Yeah.
Seriously, though, I thought it was really sweet that she invited Faith and that Faith was able to come.
Thinking about her.
Yeah. And I liked her Christmas lights, Faith's Christmas lights and her Spartan hovel.
Yeah, that was that TV.
Poor TV. Oh, the rabbit ears.
I know.
Anything else for this episode?
I have a couple of notes. Mostly, a Buffy Angel tete-a-tete yields snow. It doesn't yield, like, major resolution. It doesn't yield, you know, turning a page. It doesn't yield a major chapter being done in the book of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. It yields snow. And so we get from... Anyway. And then my last note was, what? That's it?
Yeah. Like, she was mid-sentence of something so important, and then it starts snowing. Really?
I know that for an episode, this feels unsatisfying, but in the long run, it'll be worth it.
I hope so, because I was incredibly disappointed because the content was awesome.
Yeah.
And the execution was great. Jenny Calendar, not Jenny Calendar, and there's all this stuff going on. And then all of a sudden say, oh, no, never mind. Let's move on.
Yeah.
I was, I felt ripped off.
Yeah, everything except for the last half of the last scene. Like, yeah. I agree.
I a righteous man? am I worth saving? Ah, that's great.
Yeah.
Well, what did Buffy say? She said something like...
Well, finally she acknowledged that she admitted that she still loved him.
Yeah.
Because, you know, this whole season... They've been tap dancing around the fact that they still have feelings for each other. And so finally it comes out that she does love him.
What about me? I love him.
I killed you, but it didn't help.
Hey, thanks a lot.
Sorry. I'll stop.
Sorry.
I have quotes to share if you don't.
I know. It wasn't my only one. You know, I've done this before. Yeah. Well, I don't have any more points if anybody else wants to share.
I don't think I have any more points. I think I covered it all.
Yeah, I'm good.
I have nothing. This episode just left me feeling so empty. That's the only, I mean, it didn't make me happy. It just felt just completely empty.
Was it because of the last bit of the episode, or
it had to have been because it just it absolutely had to have been.
It was building to something so good,
and then it just stopped.
Yeah,
I was just hanging.
This is probably going to be one of my top episodes, and then when it started snowing, I was like, oh, come on. Oh, sorry. I was like, oh,
sorry. Don't worry, I listened again and I bleep.
Good. All good. Yeah,
but maybe we want to start a swear jar.
But I do think that the episode was good, and I love the fact that so many characters were making amends.
Yeah.
and just
Can
the whole
just
time.
I just say, though, that I hated the title of the episode.
Really?
Why?
Yeah, because amends is not my favorite word in the English language. I think of amendments.
Okay.
Rather than making amends, and it's or amending something, or even just mending something, and I didn't want to see people making amends. I want to see conflict. I want to see character development. I want to see how things not getting resolved and people not making up makes people bitter, and how they work through that as individuals, mm-hmm. and how that shapes them. I'm not interested in seeing, you know, it's like Oz being all awesome, mm-hmm. and forgiving and great. I mean, that's awesome and that's Oz, but yeah, when does he die tragically? Because that kind of awesome, you know,
almost
altruistic behavior. Yeah. It's like, ugh, really? Let's come on. And you know what, though? He has to be a werewolf, because it's the only way that he can express the negativity. You know, it's just so weird how the werewolf is the guy that doesn't ever respond in a negative way, and when he does, it's all rational and fair. Like last week. So it's, I wanted more conflict. All this making amends stuff is, I believe, a little bit unnecessary. And I think it unfortunately plays to the idea that we don't want our characters to stay mad at
conflict.
Each other.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Whereas, you know, I mean, you know, some people sometimes hold grudges, you know?
I think there was a lot of character development, though.
I agree, and
also, I mean, there's still conflict. I mean, certainly Cordelia is not over it, and Giles is not over it. He still has a lot of conflicted feelings there. What you were saying about Oz and everything, I agree with, but I don't know. I think that it was very true to life, because where the end, where, I mean, not the snow, but just the idea that things aren't sewn up at the end of the hour. Mm-hmm. There is a lot of ambiguity in relationships, in romantic relationships and otherwise. The fact that, you know, there's still that weird tension, and there will be, between Xander and Oz and Willow and Cordelia. And there's, you know, where do they stand? Where do Angel and Buffy stand now? And all of that. But I thought it was a great episode. I'm really surprised that you all didn't like it more.
Well, I wouldn't say I didn't like it. I liked a lot of things in it. But the way it ended left a bad taste in my mouth.
Mm-hmm.
You know? It was like, it was an awesome chocolate cheesecake, and every bite is progressively better than the last, and then you're down to the last bit, and it's a little bit off. And unfortunately, that's the last bite is what you remember most, right? So for me, it was just a situation where the fact that I didn't get things wrapped up for this episode left a bad taste in my mouth. So, but you know, if indications or anything to be relied upon, it seems as though this in fact doesn't just go away.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that.
I think even if they didn't wrap things up, like even if they walked away from each other angry, I would be happier than snow falling and walking hand in hand down the street.
Yes.
Because next time there's still going to be that unresolved tension. And it's just going to be back where we started.
Yeah, I
know. For me, it was, well, I felt empty, but I also didn't know, like, when the snow started falling and they're walking hand in hand, I'm like, how am I, I was kind of confused, because I'm like, well, exactly how am I supposed to feel? Mm-hmm. And usually at the end of an episode, I feel something. Either I'm like, oh, I'm really pissed off about something, or I'm happy because I loved it, something. But, you know, and there were little things like I wanted to know more, and I wanted to be moved more. Like the scene with Xander, and it's snowing, and he's outside. My heart broke for him, but I wanted to see more or know more, and then it just left you. And then when it just ended, and I had no feeling whatsoever, it was like I was on the verge of having some kind of passionate feeling about the episode and the characters, and then it just kind of ended, and I was left with nothing. But I didn't hate the episode by any stretch of the imagination. It's just, it was just frustrating to me.
Yeah. I think that's what we're supposed to feel.
Yeah.
Really? But
well, then. They got it right.
They got it right.
Yay.
I feel frustrated.
I don't know. I felt... Anyway.
Yeah.
You know. I just felt like, really? Mm-hmm. We're stopping now? Really? Mm-hmm. We're like so close. We have to stop? Okay. We have to stop. We'll see if there's anything on TV.
So was this episode like the mid-season break? Like,
well, if it was a Christmas episode and it was timed around Christmas time, I would imagine.
Yeah, because it felt like a almost like a finale in a way, but not quite. Because it felt like if we were watching this live, there would have been like maybe 4 or 5 weeks of repeats, and then we'd get a new episode.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, I'm sure.
Yeah, it aired December 15th, and the next one was January 12th.
Okay. I'm sure that the CW went to Joss and said, "We need a Christmas episode because we got this 1-800 collect contest. We've, you know what I mean?" And Joss was probably like, "Buffy doesn't do Christmas. We don't do Christmas." And this was probably the best Buffy Christmas episode that could possibly be
made.
So
that Gerarg at the end, the
Jingle Bells,
with the Santa hat was another, you know, FU.
Probably.
You wanted a Christmas episode? You like this? You want that?
Best we can do.
Yeah, we do Halloween and we do birthday.
Right.
That's it.
This is not in our wheelhouse.
No.
I thought it was Christmassy enough.
I mean, it was. I liked that it wasn't. It was.
I felt the presence of the Hanukkah spirit.
Yeah.
It's weird watching a Christmas episode when it's 90 degrees outside.
I felt like I was in Sweatydale.
Yes.
Sweatydale. So, are we going to rate this episode?
I think what? It's time for ratings.
Mm. Anyone?
I'll go first. I give it I give it an 8 out of 10. An 8 out of 10 instances of foreshadowing. Because I think it's over the long haul, I can see how important it is, but at the same time, as one episode, it's very unsatisfying.
Mm-hmm. I agree. I'll also give it 8 out of 10 Barry Whites. I felt the same way. It probably would have got a 9.5 or even a 10 if the ending was spot on, but...
Mm-hmm. I'm going to give it a 7 out of 10 Dead Christmas Trees. It was not something that I had it wrapped up differently, I would go back and rewatch it.
Mm-hmm.
The way it wrapped up and the way that I felt cheated, basically, I'm not interested in watching it again. Maybe that'll change in the future if, you know, all this foreshadowing that I'm being foreshadowed to is to be, you know, actually forthcoming. But I really, I was upset that it wasn't better, considering how awesome it was to begin with.
Right.
You know what I mean? Anyway, I think I'm beating a dead horse now. I think you all understand my point of view.
Right.
Because I was kind of left feeling empty, and I did not love, and I did not hate the episode, I will give it a 5 out of 10. Right in the middle, I will give it 5 out of 10 awkward Goyce moments.
I'll give it a 9 out of 10 Sunnydale snow globes. Partially because of Xander. I just love Xander in this episode. He's so awesome. And I feel so bad for him having to sleep out in his little campsite. Yeah.
I enjoyed that part. But that's me.
Yay.
Awesome. Dear listeners, tell us what you think. Some of you already have. But feel free to tell us about future episodes. I'm looking at the subject of an email here right now from Missy that says, "Warning, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, helpless." I'm not touching it. I haven't seen the episode yet. If you indicate to us in the subject line that it's for a future episode, we just won't look at it. It's all good. Steph will look at it, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But feel free to comment on future episodes, on some of our episodes, potential cast episodes, if you like. Send us anything you'd like. Although the contest is over, you're not going to be sending us any more pictures. Entries are no longer being accepted. We will announce a winner in a couple of weeks. Mm-hmm. You can send us an email at
potentialcast@gmail.com.
Visit us at the blogspot, potentialcast.com. We'll redirect you to potentialcast.blogspot.com. That's where we release the show notes. There's a direct link. There's a subscribe via iTunes link. You can put a little comment in there. But you know where the fun is. It's on Facebook. The Facebook group now has 206 members.
Wow. Woo!
You can also call us, 270-40-BUFFY. We had the return of the drunk caller. Although this time it wasn't as entertaining because he wasn't actually drunk. But we appreciate the calls, and we especially appreciate the kind words that you've sent us. And we also appreciated all your entries into the contest. So, Bra Watch?
There was Bra Watch aplenty.
Yay!
it was a Christmas miracle. A Christmaka miracle, yay, as it were. Okay, we had Buffy, white lace shirt. Oh, wait a minute. Yep, wait a minute. I got notes all over the place here. This is a little scary. Okay, Cordelia, silver top, black bra.
Of course.
Oh, yeah. We had Faith, white tank top, white bra. Buffy was kind of all over the place. She had the white lace shirt. I thought it was a black bra. Could have been a black spaghetti strap tank top underneath. And I believe that is all for this particular episode.
Awesome.
Thank you. Her bangs were distracting me.
Bang watch.
Bang watch.
They so were.
Awesome.
I think it's time for quotes.
Do I get to go first?
Yes, go right ahead.
Let me guess. Is it evil?
Awesome.
So, Angel's on top again?
Scratch that one off my list.
I heard a few things from the underground. Yeah, you know, from the things that live under the ground.
I'll go. Hello, still Jewish.
Daniel, be of good cheer. It's Christmas. I also had, I think we should sit down again.
Can I do another one?
Of course.
Of course.
Give me a double shot of information, pal.
I like nothing like a roaring fire to keep away the blistering heat.
The I killed you and it didn't help was awesome.
Oh, there's good old Giles with and the funny keeps on coming.
Awesome. Well, what's our homework next week, Steph?
Next week is gingerbread.
Sounds tasty.
It's not.
Spoiler, it's not delicious.
Really?
We may be in disagreement. It's crunchy and spicy.
I like gingerbread.
Don't spoil people.
No, there's no gingerbread.
Oh, the actual
Isn't
gingerbread.
There?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Is this like a New Year's episode?
No, gingerbread aired in January 12th, 1999.
So this isn't a Christmas follow up.
No, I wouldn't say.
It is. Okay.
No. Angie, thanks for joining us.
Oh, thanks for having me. I've been waiting a long time.
Well, so have we.
Yes. And good luck judging those pictures. Mm-hmm. I know it will be a very difficult decision, but mm-hmm. I know you'll make the right choice.
Mm, yes.
Was that a veiled threat?
I don't see a veil.
Angie can be heard on the Godfather podcast.
I'm making offers they can't refuse all the time. You should hear how I talk to my children.
Yeah. Apparently people are shocked that I threatened evisceration. I don't know. It's fine. No, that was the cat. Right. Bye, everybody.
Bye-bye. Bye.
Jingle bells. I don't have a sound effect, so I couldn't do it.
Now. So our drunk caller called back.
Hey.
But he was sober this time.
Boo.
What's that? Boo. What's that noise? What's that buzzing?
Oh, it's my washing machine.
You got one of those tiny downtown apartments, don't you?
Yes, I do.
All right. Where the washer dryer also serve as a headboard. Magic fingers.
Yeah.
Okay. I'm ready.
Me too.
Oh, we need to address the contest.
Yes.
Oh.
Because the deadline that I had set arbitrarily has come and gone. So what I think we should do is that we each take a look at the emails that are for the contest, and then we make notes on who our top five are, and then we compare
top
our top five. Fives.
How many did you get?
At least five.
I think since you're talking about this and I happen to be the guest host, that you should just pick me.
But that's We can't do that. That would not be fair.
No, dude,
each co-host does a top five list, and whoever is closest to being number one in everybody's list is the winner.
Okay.
I figure that would be fair. But what do you guys think?
Sounds good.
Okay.
Sounds good.
And it would be individual pictures, not people.
Okay. Oh.
And then whoever, like whichever picture is the number one outfit, right? Because I know someone sent us a whole bunch. We'll just go ahead and maybe treat it that way, and maybe next week can pick somebody.
All right.
Okay.
I don't know. I mean, we could pick somebody whenever we have our lists ready. It's just, I'm going to have some time tomorrow on the train. But I'm also going to be editing on the train. So we'll see. We'll see how it works out.
Okay.
Cool.
Let's do this.
Okay, incorrect.
The washer was done, now the dryer. I timed it so they'd go off at the same time. So
awesome. That's good.
We're ready?
Yep.
Sure.
I'm ready.
Okay.
Thank you.